Better late than never. I have two things that are the best of 2021. I watched them both on TV last night. I'll tell you about that after the late night jokes. Jimmy Kimmel said Time Magazine unveiled their annual Person of the Year. That person is Elon Musk, or as I call him, Old Sheldon. Kimmel again, Person of the Year is believed to be the highest honor ever awarded to a person who cuts his own hair. Gordon, in response to this, Jeff Bezos just bought Time Magazine. Seth, he was going to go out and buy a copy, but then he realized he'd have to pay taxes on it. So it was, you know, not worth it. Kimmel, it's important to note that it's not necessarily a compliment. Adolf Hitler and Donald Trump were also named Person of the Year. Time is basically your dad watching a bad Super Bowl commercial and going, hey, love him or hate him, we're all talking about him, right? Trevor Noah said, I am so happy for Elon Musk, like the guy could really use an ego boost, you know? Honestly, you can't argue with this. I mean, richest man in the world who also controls space, crypto, and electric cars? Who would even be in second place? Maybe Pete Davidson? Fallon, yeah, Musk received the honor for his work in space exploration after he bought 10 million subscriptions to Time Magazine. I'm kidding, although it was a little strange that everybody at Time drove into work today in a brand new Tesla. Fallon, being named Person of the Year is a big deal. It's basically sexiest man alive, but you're competing against the Dalai Lama and the Pope. All right, what did I watch on TV? So I have a problem here. I don't want to record a podcast on Christmas Day, you know? So for Sunday, I had already recorded my top 10 funniest things of 2021. And then I go and watch TV last night. And there's two things that not only make the list, they make the list at numbers 2 and 3. So now I have to re-edit Sunday's podcast. Ugh. All right, what did you watch, Johnny Mac? Being the Ricardos. It's the best movie of the year. Do you hear me? It is the best movie of the year. I think there are four Oscar-worthy performances in there. I'm giving Best Actor to Javier Bardem for his portrayal of Desi Arnaz. I'm giving Best Supporting Actor to William Frawley. No, not to William Frawley. He's dead. To J.K. Simmons. Why don't you edit it? Because it's funnier the way I messed it up. I'm giving Best Supporting Actor to J.K. Simmons. He plays William Frawley, who's dead. For your consideration, but you won't win. Nicole Kidman as Lucille Ball is fantastic. And how about Aaliyah Shawkat as Best Supporting Actress? She plays one of the writers, gets a pretty meaty role in the film. I thought this thing was wonderful. It takes a bunch of things from Lucy and Desi's marriage, crams them all into 1 week. It's got Sorkin-like dialogue. It looks great. It sounds great. It's tons of fun. I loved this thing, start to finish. Being the Ricardos, Best Picture. You hear me? You hear me. Then I put on Jim Gaffigan's new special, Comedy Monster. I'm here to tell you, it's the best Jim Gaffigan special. Yes. And I'm still mad at Jim for not calling us back at SiriusXM 10 years ago. I don't let it go. That said, it's Jim Gaffigan's best special. You know how I do my Emperor of Rome thing where I sit there and I go, oh, that's really funny, great callback, hilarious? I laughed at this thing. Laughed out loud, like actual laughter, like a human does. I'm now going to talk for about a minute about what's actually in the special. If you don't want to be spoiled, skip ahead about a minute. But I'm going to say things like, oh, that first section where he talks about doors, I'm staring at my door. And then the second part where he talks about garbage cans, I'm in my office. Those were great, but that's not what he actually talks about, okay? So if you don't want to be spoiled, you've got 3, 2, 1. Spoilers. Boy, his opener about COVID, especially as we're all freaking out about Omicron, it was like on point. I know it was recorded a month or two ago. This thing felt super topical, super funny. I was watching with my 83-year-old mom. She also enjoyed it. By the way, love a comedian that works clean. Can we all wear clean? Then Jim goes into a bit of a edgy for Jim Gaffigan segment about religion, which I thought was hilarious. He did have a segment that was very Jim Gaffigan-y about what Jim looks like. It was funny. Felt like I've been down that road with Jim before, but really enjoyed Jim Gaffigan Comedy Monster. And when I recut Sunday's episode, you will hear that Ricardo's is going to be number 2 and Jim's going to be number 3. What's number 1? You'll have to tune in. Have you listened all year? I've told you what it is. I guess while we're talking about the weekend, tomorrow, Christmas Eve, will be a normal episode. Saturdays in December, I've been reviewing It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, so episodes 7 and 8. What better to talk about on Christmas Day than It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia? And then Sunday will be my best of the year, Monday normal episode. And as always, there's always an episode of Daily Comedy News. I don't skip any days. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, etc. will be normal. From Collider, a new documentary from W. Kamau Bell is coming to Showtime. It's called We Need to Talk About Cosby. Pretty excited about this one. A four-part docuseries that will give audiences an inside look at both Bill Cosby's career as well as his scandals and fall from grace. In the teaser for the doc, we hear W. Kamau Bell tell audiences he's a child of Bill Cosby. He goes on to say, you know what I mean. I'm a black man, a comic born in the 70s. Bill Cosby had been one of my heroes. And we need to talk about Cosby. Bell takes a look at how difficult it is to learn something absolutely horrific about someone you've spent much of your life idolizing. The doc features voices who were impacted by Cosby's legacy as an actor, comedian, and role model for the black community, and the information we know about what kind of person he is behind closed doors. We need to talk about Cosby, Showtime, January 30th. From Deadline, HBO Documentary Films unveiled the trailer for The Super Bob Einstein Movie, a documentary celebrating the life and legacy of Super Bob Einstein. This will be on HBO next week, December 28th. That's Tuesday, 9 East and West, also streaming on HBO Max. The film explores Einstein's unlikely discovery and enduring career, including his iconic alter ego Super Dave Osborne, his work both in front and behind the camera on The Smothers Brothers, his work on Curb Your Enthusiasm, features commentary from Einstein's fellow comedians, including Jerry Seinfeld, Larry David, Susie Essman, David Letterman, Sarah Silverman. I'm trying not to make some sort of face joke about Sarah Silverman. Norman Lear, Cheryl Hines, Jimmy Kimmel, Steve Martin, Patton Oswalt, Rob Reiner, and J.B. Smoove. From Variety, Fox has decided not to do New Year's Eve Toast and Roast 2022 because of the Omicron variant. Fox says, we're confident in the health and safety protocols for Fox's New Year's Eve Toast and Roast 2022, but the recent velocity of the spread of Omicron cases has made it impossible to produce a live special in Times Square that meets our standards. Joel McHale and Ken Jeong would have hosted this thing. Fox is going to make up some other New Year's Eve plans. I'm going to watch Pete Davidson anyway. And when I say I'm going to watch Pete Davidson, I mean I'm going to play video games and then the next day go on like Vulture and see what Pete Davidson did. From The Laugh Button, there's a new romantic comedy coming out starring Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and Jenny Slate. It's called I Want You Back. Peter, played by Charlie Day, and Emma, played by Jenny Slate, thought they were on the precipice of life's biggest moments, marriage, kids, houses in the suburbs, houses, until their respective partners dumped them. Ah, houses. Oh, I've done this before, and I made the same joke and same mistake. I feel like I read this to you in the summer. Let me back up. They felt like they were on the precipice of life's biggest moments, marriage, kids, houses in the suburbs, until their respective partners dumped them, horrified. To learn that the loves of their lives have already moved on, Peter and Emma hatch a hilarious plan to win back their exes with unexpected results. Gee, what do you think's going to happen on this one? Amazon Prime, February 11th. From Chortle, the BBC is piloting a new comedy show to combat the perception that all its comedians are woke. You ready? Unsafe Space will feature a number of comedians linked to the Comedy Unleashed Free Speech Comedy Nights, which are championed by pressure group of the Campaign for Common Sense. The stand-ups lineup for the trial episode of the Possible Radio 4 show include GB News presenter Andrew Doyle. I'm a Yank. I believe GB News is British for what Fox does here. Also on the bill are Tony Law, Nick Dixon, George Zack, and Mary Burke. It will be recorded at Comedy Unleashed Home, the Backyard Comedy Club. Unsafe Space is billed as provocative, unorthodox stand-up comedy for the open-minded, bringing diversity of opinion to BBC Radio 4. The Campaign for Common Sense kicks back against transgender rights campaigners and believes Black Lives Matter is divisive ideological nonsense. Interesting choice by BBC4. Moving on from the dailyrecord.co.uk, Scots comedian Gary Folds was left sick to his stomach. Why? He came out. His van was there and somebody had spray painted on his van, I'm a beast, and called him a pedo. Gary told the Daily Record, it was horrific when I saw it. I just felt really sick to my stomach. If you don't like my comedy, just say that. But to call somebody a beast is the worst thing you could do. My head is wasted with it, and I'm so drained. Well, today is December 23rd. As you know, that is Festivus, a secular holiday meant as an alternative to the pressures and commercialization of the Christmas season. It is well known from the season 9 Seinfeld episode called The Strike, which first aired December 18th, 1997. For Festivus, the usual tradition of a tree is manifested by an unadorned aluminum pole. Those attending Festivus may also participate in the airing of grievances, which we are about to do on this podcast, an opportunity to tell others how they've disappointed you in the past year. That's followed by a Festivus dinner and then completed by the Feats of Strength, where the head of the household must be pinned. Are you ready for the airing of grievances comedy edition? Here we go. Hey, Grammys, stop giving best comedy albums to things that aren't albums. We all know Netflix specials when we see them. Just because Dave Chappelle releases 846 on 846 copies of vinyl does not make it a comedy album. It's a TV special. Stop doing that, Grammys. You have been grieved. Adam Sandler, come on, man. I saw Uncut Gems. You can do it. You choose not to do it. You are talented. You choose to hand in crap. Adam Sandler, please hand in better movies. It's within you. And my final grievances go to Jim Gaffigan and Aziz Ansari, already mentioned on this podcast. Why? Because 15 years ago at SiriusXM, when you guys were starting out, we helped your career. And then when you got famous, you didn't call us back. You are being grievances. Moving on, Paste Magazine says nobody needs a best comedy album Grammy. I agree. They write, the woke internet mob strikes again as canceled comedians Louis C.K. and Kevin Hart. I forgot we canceled Kevin Hart. He's been uncanceled. Have been burdened with their third and second Grammy nomination, respectively. The pool of best comedy album nominees is repetitive even for a major award show as the same names pop up each year. Pace makes a great point here. Jim Gaffigan has found himself nominated for six albums in a row. Case in point, I told you earlier in this podcast, his new special Comedy Monster. Notice I use the word special. It's clearly a Netflix special. That's not a comedy album. And yet, we'll be sitting here a year from now, and I'll tell you it's going to win the comedy album. Five of the last six for Patton Oswalt. Four out of five for Chris Rock. Four in a row for Weird Al. Five in a row for Lewis Black. And perhaps the most telling of all, six nominations in a row for Kathy Griffin. Critical reception comes in second at best, especially in the case of Kathy Griffin, who, according to the Grammys and the Grammys only, is apparently a better comedian than John Mulaney, Mitch Hedberg, Maria Bamford, Mark Maron, Kyle Kinane, and Hannibal Buress, who have combined for a total of zero nominations. Let me read that list again. Hedberg, Mulaney, Maron, Maria Bamford, Kyle Kinane, Hannibal Buress have zero Grammy nominations. Pace writes, it's not just that the association continually snubs beloved albums and artists. It's like they don't even know they exist. For any given year, you could guess who's been nominated for Grammy and get it 90% right, as the actual albums feel superfluous to receiving a nomination. I agree. Let's play. Let's fast forward in time a year from now. Here are the nominees for Best Comedy Album 2022. You ready? Sight unseen. I'm going to go with Dave Chappelle, Louis C.K., Jim Gaffigan, Jerry Seinfeld, and whoever the It woman comic is next summer. Those are your nominees. You can write that down. The patterns are so clear that the selection process feels more like the result of a Google alert for select collection of comedians rather than the act of listening to submissions. Going by the biggest names on board might seem like a good shortcut, but fame and past performances only guarantee a check, not a quality special. As much as comedy runs under the radar, if you're going to do something, you better do it right. The Grammys should save themselves the medal and stay in their lane. From City AM, a satirical comedy puppet show Spinning Image. It's going to hit the West End in 2020 if Omicron lets it. The original sketch show Spitting Image ran from 1984 to 1996. You Americans probably remember it from the Genesis Land of Confusion video. Made a return in 2020 on the streaming platform BritBox. The show's creators have hinted that Prime Minister Boris Johnson will feature in the live production and say the show that, unlike Boris Johnson, will be delivered with no shortcuts. Vulture has been doing this list of comedians you should know. They wrote about Rosebud Baker. Hey, Rosebud Baker, when did you feel you were funny enough to make a legitimate go at comedy? Rosebud Baker said, I don't even know what a legitimate go at comedy means. That's because I came from money. It's paying my bills and somehow still feels illegitimate. I don't think I've ever felt funny enough for it, but I'm doing it, getting there. I think for the first time I decided this was lucrative enough to be worth it. It was a corporate gig I did in 2019. I made 20 grand just to roast this billionaire for 15 minutes. I felt like a sex worker. Didn't even have to take off my jacket. All right, Rosebud Baker, who are some of your favorite comedians right now? So many comics. Ryan Donahue is one of the most talented stand-up comics in NYC. It pains me to say that because he's already got reasons to be confident with his long flowing hair and he's young. And one of his eyelashes is all white like an Australian shepherd, but he's a heck of a comic. Larry Owens makes me laugh so hard and does cabaret in a way that I never appreciated until I saw him do it. Brendan Sagalow has more fun on stage than anybody. He's fun to watch, especially when he thinks he's bombing. Adrienne Iapolucci, she's one of the most skilled comics I've ever seen on stage. Well, Rosebud Baker, what's the best comedy advice and the worst comedy advice you've ever received? Best, it's not about trying to be right. It's trying to be about funny. Worst, when I start to hear bad advice, I judge the messenger so loudly in my head, I literally can't hear them talking anymore, so I can't remember. Rosebud Baker, tell us one story from your childhood that's a good representation of your life. When I was a kid, I asked my dad if I could try Baker's chocolate. He told me I wouldn't like it, and I threw a fit. So he said that if he let me try it, I had to eat the whole block. Seemed fair, so I tried it. Tasted like sidewalk chalk and Band-Aids. I had to eat a whole block, because Southern dads do not F around. And I barfed everywhere, all over, and I looked at my dad and said, delicious. And that's your comedy news for today. Follow this podcast. Come on, man, do it. On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Good Pods, Pandora, everywhere. Wherever you get your podcasts, I'm there. See you tomorrow.